You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, along with my good buddy Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how are you?
Jeff, I am doing well. Good. A full day to kind of bask in everything. And, still feeling good about it.
That's good. Yeah, I am too. Although the basking hasn't been quite as easy because neither of the trades are official yet. There are some holdups. We're going to talk a little bit about that, the reasons why the trades aren't official yet. We're going to talk a little bit more about what we don't know about it. And then we're going to talk about each of the four guys who, as far as we know right now, are going to be leaving the Dodgers and kind of pay tribute to those four guys because they are four pretty important guys to us as Dodger fans and to the team. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince. So neither trade that was reported last night, neither one is official yet. The big trade, the Mookie Betts trade, it appears that the holdup is the physical on the pitcher the Twins are sending to the Red Sox, Brusdar Graterol. And I guess they're concerned about his physical or his medicals and thinking he might be more of a relief pitcher than a starter, so they might want more compensation, either another player or more money. According to Ken Rosenthal, it's not clear whether that player and or money would come from the Twins or from the Dodgers. So that's kind of interesting. I would think it would have to come from the Twins because the Dodgers, the guy the Dodgers have given up has passed his physical apparently, or the two guys. So, and then it seems like maybe the Jock Peterson trade is contingent on the Betts trade going through. So everything is at a standstill right now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And the one other piece we did learn and part of the deal with the Angels is that Ross Stripling would be that starting pitcher to go to Anaheim. So, you know, sucks to see Ross go, but we'll talk more about him in the second half. But, yeah, you would imagine that it would be the Twins who have to either send another player or send some money or something to that effect. But, you know, realistically, the Dodgers are probably not desperate, but, you know, more have a bigger need for this trade to go through than the Twins. So, that could be a negotiating tactic for the Twins. Well, you guys want the trade to go through, so you guys can throw something else as well. But at the end of the day, you know, the big names that have all passed it, the minor details will get ironed out. And, you know, it might just be a couple extra days before Mookie Betts is officially a Dodger. But, you know, nothing really too worrisome right now.
Yeah, I had that same thought about the Twins, maybe trying to play hardball, but also the Twins are in win-now mode, too. They've gone all out, and their big weakness is their starting pitching, and so I think you could make a case that they need Maeda more than the Dodgers need Betts. Obviously, Betts is the better player, improves the Dodgers more than Maeda improves the Twins, but the Twins' need actually might be stronger. I assume it will happen, like you said, but I don't know, with how much backlash the Red Sox have gotten for this deal, I keep getting nervous, like, that they're going to find some excuse to back out of it, you know? I don't know. I think that would be a pretty bad move for a general manager to make. I think there's probably a whole lot of honor among thieves, or however you want to call it, among the GMs, that you don't back out of a trade that's been agreed upon unless there's a legitimate reason to. But until it's official, I'm going to be a little bit nervous, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a little nerve-wracking when something goes wrong or the deals hit a snag. But yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, I think it's a little bit too far gone at this point. You know, Chaim Bloom is a new GM. He would not want to start his, you know, it's bad enough he's starting his career by trading Mookie Betts, but it would be probably even worse if he tried to nix the whole thing and you know, shift that. Plus, I mean, the Red Sox, from what it seems, it's not so much. At first, it was more that they were saying to get under luxury tax was a goal, not a mandate. But the way that this trade went, it seems more like a mandate than a goal. You would imagine they maybe could have tried to get a little more out of, you know, trading a top five MLB player. And, you know, David Price is no slouch either. So, or even if it was just Betts. So, you know, it appears that they would. There's no other team that's gonna do this. You know, the Padres were mentioned, but realistically, he's not going to get traded to the Padres. So if the Red Sox do want to get under that luxury tax and it is a mandate, then the Dodgers are the only team that's going to make it happen. So I'm not too worried about it, but obviously there's always a little trickle of doubt.
Yeah. And one other weird thing about the Jock Peterson trade to the Angels, you mentioned Stripling will apparently be involved in that. What we know so far is Jock, Stripling, and Andy Pages going to the Angels for Luis Ranjifo and one or two prospects. We don't even know if it's one or two, and we don't know any names, which is really weird to me at this point. And like, it's not that weird to me now that we know that there's a holdup on Gratterall's physical. There had been speculation that maybe the holdup on the Jock trade was that Jock was out of the country or something, and so they couldn't notify him. But I heard from a source that that's definitely not the holdup, but also that basically the players involved don't know much more than we do. Really, they're kind of following this on social media. They know a little bit more, but really they're kind of in a holding pattern the same way we are. And I just think it's really weird that we haven't even had any names leaked on who these one or two prospects come for the Angels to the Dodgers are. Don't you think that's weird?
Yeah, definitely weird. And not even an inkling, not even anything. And it kind of swings the whole, it kind of swings our whole opinion of the trade, depending on what it is. You know, if they're prospects that are lower level, the Dodgers, you know, it seems like they're more doing a service to Jock and Stripling in this trade than they are realistically improving. And so it's really contingent on who those prospects are and to kind of evaluate what kind of deal this is. But yeah, I mean, for it to go a whole day with no other news other than Stripling getting added in the morning, it's pretty weird. But, you know, maybe the Angels are tight-lipped, or maybe the Dodgers tight-lipped. I don't know. But at the end of the day, we'll find out some point. But yeah, definitely not something that's pretty common, at least nowadays.
Yeah, back at the trade deadline in 2018, when you and I were texting about the Logan Forsythe for Brian Dozier trade, I think you got word an hour or two before it was official. So you and I kind of knew it was going down, and we cracked that joke, the old baseball joke of, I love this trade for the Dodgers. Who are they getting? Just, you know, offloading yeah. Logan Forsythe. It's like, oh, all right, good trade. Whoever they got. This isn't that case. This is a case of, we really won't know how we feel about this trade until we know what the Dodgers are getting. But like you said, we'll just have to be patient for another day or two, or maybe just hours. Maybe by the time our listeners are listening to this, maybe all of this will be resolved. But I don't know. It's late on Wednesday night right now as we're recording, and so it doesn't seem like anything will get done overnight. So maybe tomorrow we'll be refreshing Twitter all day again.
Yeah, good old trusty Twitter.
Let's talk about Arizona, shall we?
Let's do it.
Spring training. Arizona. I actually was texting with Ross Stripling today, told him we were bummed that he was getting traded, and he's bummed too, but he said at least it's not to one of those teams that has to do spring training in Florida. So Ross gets it. He understands the appeal of Arizona spring training. The weather's beautiful. All the teams are close together. So I imagine as a player, that's like, I can't even imagine. I would think that as a player, it might actually be a selling point. Hey, we do spring training in Arizona where your longest bus ride is 45 minutes. And hey, that's good enough for me. But yeah, the stadiums are all close together. There's 15 teams there. really easy to see a ton of good baseball and literally hundreds of Major League Baseball players who are awesome. So are you going to spring training this year, Vince?
Yeah, I'll definitely be going now. And I just don't know what dates yet, but I'll definitely be out there at least for a weekend.
Nice. Yeah, I'll be down there for the Sabre Analytics Conference in mid-March and mostly doing the conference, but hit a little spring training. So I'm looking forward to the weather. It's snowing right now. I look at my weather app, and I have 100% chance of snow for the next at least 24 hours. I imagine we're going to have a foot of snow when I wake up in the morning. And so right about now, as much as I love the snow, I could go for some of that beautiful Arizona weather, and I could even go for a hike right now. That's how bad things are.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want to be like me and Vince and plan your spring training trip, just go to visitarizona.com/springtraining to get started planning. That website has a ton of resources, places to stay, things to do, places to eat, all sorts of stuff. So that's visitarizona.com/springtraining and keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Vince, it's time for our obscure former Dodger of the day. And I'll tell you, I had kind of a theme, and it didn't quite work out. I was looking, Bruzdar Gratterall, the guy whose physical is holding up the trade, he was born on August 26, 1998. He was born 3 months after the Dodgers traded Mike Piazza. How old does that make you feel, Vince? Yeah. So I looked at the Dodgers on August 26, 1998, what they were doing, and they actually had a walk-off victory that day against the Expos. Walk-off home run hit by Eric Young Sr. Unfortunately, we've already done Eric Young Sr., and I looked at all the guys who played for the Dodgers that day, and all of them are either not obscure or we've already done them, and there's a few former Dodgers who played for the Expos that day. And kind of the same boat, either not obscure or we've already done them. So I went back one day to August 25th, 1998, and the Dodgers starting pitcher that day is definitely an obscure former Dodger. His name is Dave Malicki. Do you remember Dave Malicki at all?
I do. I remember the name, and I can kind of picture his face, but that's about it.
Yeah, he's definitely the Wheel of Fortune player. I'd like to buy a vowel. He's his last name would be easier to pronounce if he had at least one more vowel, but... Dave Malicki only pitched for the Dodgers for parts of two seasons. He came over from the Mets in mid-98, and he the Dodgers traded him in early 99. So in 98, the Dodgers got him from the Mets for Hideo Nomo. That's when they traded Nomo. I had forgotten that they traded Nomo and Piazza in the same year, just a few weeks apart. And then the next year, the Dodgers traded him to the Tigers for a few guys who never even made the majors. But also in his career, he was also once traded for Jerry DePoto, who's now the general manager of the Mariners. He was once traded for former Dodger Jeremy Burnitz. And overall, Dave Malicki, he pitched 10 years in the big leagues and was not very good, but not super bad. I guess if you last 10 years, he can't be too bad, but he had an ERA plus of 92, so he was about 8% worse than average. He was a starter for most of his career and a little bit of relief and pitched for the Dodgers and was entirely undistinguished in that role, and so he is kind of the definition of an obscure former Dodger. All right, so for now former Dodgers or almost former Dodgers, that we want to talk about. Just we were so excited about Mookie Betts last night when we recorded that we didn't really get a chance to pay tribute to some of these guys who are pretty important in our Dodger fandom, guys we like a lot personally. Obviously, Ross Stripling was a guest on our podcast just a couple months ago. Great dude. Jock Peterson has been a provider of many, many highlights for the Dodgers. On the field, personality-wise, Jock's a great dude. Alex Verdugo, we have a lot of strong feelings for him. And Kenta Maeda. Oh, yeah. So, we want to talk about each of those four guys. Who should we talk about first, Vince?
Let's go with Jock.
All right. So, Jock came up at the end of 2015. What I'm getting all my years mixed up. He was the year before Seager, so
2014.
He came up at the end of 14. Was terrible that September. Came up in 2015. Started the season with the Dodgers. Started out great. Looked like the rookie of the year favorite, even with Chris Bryant. They were kind of neck and neck. Jock was in the Home Run Derby as a rookie. Did very well there. Ended up finishing, I think he dropped down to like sixth in the Rookie of the Year voting or something that year. But he's had his ups and downs. He got sent back to the minors in 2017 for a little while. But he had some big home runs for the Dodgers in the World Series in 2017. If the Astros weren't cheating cheaters, Jock very likely would have been the World Series MVP in 2017. And, it's like Jock is one of those guys who we all know what he is. We all know what his weaknesses are, but it's still really sad to see him go from a personal standpoint and from a baseball standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, how we've tried to, not because we don't like him or want him, but we've tried to trade Jock the last two off seasons just because, you know, his value was so high and he kind of had what we had thought was tapped out on his talent, and he kind of proved us wrong. Last year he had a really good year. Obviously he's a platoon player. He's, you know, not gonna put up the same numbers if he was facing lefties as well, but you know, he absolutely crushed right-handers. 36 home runs, held down the leadoff spot. He kind of got the inside Twitter joke with me, and he seemed to hit a lot of home runs when I was in attendance. So The main negative I have for him is that he's one of the like worst interviews and most boring interviews. He doesn't answer any questions at all. He just takes a big circle around any question you ask him. But other than that, yeah, I'm going to miss Jock. Realistically, this was probably going to be his last year in LA anyways. So that helps the sting a little bit. But I'm going to miss the big cuts and the big swing and the big home runs. And I will not miss his defense like Paula Duca will, but he did relatively, you know, decent enough and once he moved to left field. So I'll definitely miss Jock.
Yeah. One of my, I don't know if it's my favorite Jock memory, but one that sticks out in my mind was Jackie Robinson Day last year. You and I were both at the game. I was there with my daughter, and Jock hit the walk-off home run against the Reds, and as far as he could tell, it was a no-doubter off the bat, and he turned and pointed to his teammates and pounded his chest, and then the ball cleared the fence by about 3 inches. And that's kind of classic Jock for me. Not like he did that exact thing a lot, but just that exuberance. And that might be it's one of very few walk-off home runs I've actually been in attendance for. There was game three of the 2018 World Series, and then that Jock one. That's the only two that I can remember walk-off home runs. There might have been more, but yeah, you have a specific Jock memory that sticks out?
No, that's a good one. Not to be, you know, too recency biased, but him hitting home runs in Milwaukee on his birthday when I was out there this year was pretty fun. So I think I'll just take the whole like 2019 season, because like I said, of his 36 home runs, I definitely saw 15 to 20 of them in person.
Yep. And then didn't he have like one of his home runs? He hit two on opening day, but I don't think it was opening day. He had one that, didn't he have one that like hit the near the top of the foul pole? Or was,
yeah, there? Oh, the one in the playoffs was pretty close to that as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Jock, he will be missed. I'm happy that he's staying in Southern California, so Dodger fans can go see him whenever they want. All right. So who should we talk about next?
We'll go with your guy. We'll go with Doogie.
Yeah, Alex Verdugo. I don't know. I'm torn. Like I said, I touched on this a little bit yesterday, that because Doogie missed 2 or 3 months last year and we haven't been totally sure he's going to be healthy, it's kind of easier to – we've kind of been imagining a season without him, or at least an opening day without him anyway. But, man, Doogie can hit. His personality started to shine through. He was a fan favorite, obviously the only Mexican player on the team in LA. That's kind of a big deal.
Julio, but yeah.
Oh, that's right. Julio's actually Mexican. So yeah, that's right. Doogie's the only Mexican American, which is, you know, a lot of Dodger fans can relate to that. Even the kind of Mexican American like you who doesn't actually speak much Spanish, and
hey, I speak Spanish.
Some.
A lot more than
more than Doogie. That's true. But yeah. So, but most of what I'm going to miss about Doogie is he can hit. Like, I'm excited to see what he does in Fenway, like I said, but I think I'm going to miss Doogie most of all on the field anyway.
Yeah, I'll miss Doogie on the field, but I'll definitely miss, you know, off the field or in the dugout, Alex Verdugo. He had the little thing with the Dodger social media manager, Sujo, after every game. You know, he'd point to her and he'd kind of start noticing after a while. And he, you know, I think last year he was very necessary in the dugout and as part of the team. You know, after the camp it was traded and Puig was traded, and you know, the business-like approach that a lot of people were terming the team when they went with Joe Kelly and AJ Pollock and kind of switched a little bit away from what they were before. I think he was kind of needed last year and served his purpose very well. And you could just see, you know, he had the slight issue when he first came up, he overslept, and there was some other rumblings of some other things, but he seemed to have righted that ship and, you know, been absolute joy in the dugout. And a lot of the players praised him last year. You know, he was getting a lot of love, especially early on when he was doing really well. So, you know, we'll definitely miss him and, you know, all that he brought with him, and we'll definitely miss his walk-up song. I know that always got the crowd going at Dodger Stadium. So there'll be a lot to miss there. And, you know, that's probably the hardest part of all these trades. But, you know, that's just how it is sometimes.
Yeah, and we'll miss him the longest. He's the one who's still under team control the longest. So the most potential to make us regret it over the next several years. But let's talk about Kenta next. What do you want to say about Kenta?
Kenta, man, you know, it's a complicated relationship with Kenta Maeda. You know, starter Kenta, he has his really good days where he looks unhittable, and then he has those really bad days where he's thrown 70 pitches in the third inning and it's just frustrating. And then the last 3 years, he's more so this year and the year in 2017, but even 2018, he's turned into my favorite reliever once it gets to September, October. I mean, he's I know he didn't like it, and his contract was geared more towards being a starter, but I think he's definitely, you know, one of the better relievers once he does that, and he was definitely the most fun reliever. He got, you know, super excited, super pumped up. You know, obviously him and when he used to have Will Ireton as his translator, they always had fun times. He was always pranking him and throwing it on social media. And, you know, as much as Maeda would be frustrating, I think overall, you know, he brought what he needed. The Dodgers got him real cheap because medical records, his elbow seemed to not be ready to hold up, and he's held up better than pretty much any pitcher in the Dodgers the last few years. So I'll miss everything about Maeda, but I think I'll miss reliever Maeda the most.
Yeah, yeah. What sticks in my mind for Maeda is his last appearance as a Dodger, when he came in and struck out the side after Kershaw had given up the back-to-back home runs and Game 5 of the NLDS, and just more of that what might have been if Roberts had, you know, used his relievers in relief. And, Kenta is one of those guys who I feel like it's impossible not to like Kenta Maeda. He almost to the point of, like, some people it's impossible not to like him because they're so boring, there's nothing not to like. But Kenta is not quite that. He's fun, but in a boring sort of way. I don't know if that's quite, but like you said, you know, you could see his personality shine through sometimes with the pranks on Will the Thrill, or even just watching Kenta shag and fly balls in the outfield was fun during batting practice. He, you know, you can tell he's a very good athlete. He has a lot of fun there. He would pinch run sometimes. So Kenta,
he was the first get out ball in Chavez Ravine Fiends history.
Really?
Yeah, 2016 that's season, right. He was the first home run of the year.
Yeah, yeah, that's and that was a crazy thing. His second career at bat, he homered, and I guess that's kind of a bookend. He homered in his second at bat with the Dodgers and never again. And Hyunjin Ryu never homered with the Dodgers until his last at bat. And now they're both gone. So even if they weren't both Asian imports from the Korean and Japanese leagues, respectively, they would have that in common, I guess. Yeah, I will miss Kenta a lot. And finally, we have Ross Stripling, friend of the show. I think that's what we're supposed to call him now that he's been on the show.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Ross?
Yeah, I think this one right now hurts the most in terms of, because we don't know what that trade is. So it seems like we're helping out the Angels as well as helping out Jock and Stripling and getting them more either, you know, Jock maybe everyday playing time and Stripling maybe a rotation or definitely a rotation spot if he goes to the Angels. So I think for right now it feels kind of weird, but, you know, Stripling, we've seen him kind of really grow up these last few years and kind of open himself up, and he's definitely been one of the Dodgers that's been most outspoken about all things Astro stuff. You know, we talked to him for almost an hour and had a whole week of segments with him, and we probably could have went for another hour if we really wanted. And he just had the article about his off season. You know, he does the stockbroking stuff. He works out. He seems to be a guy that's very well rounded. He has his own podcast. So, you know, he's kind of become probably one of my favorite Dodgers even before we had interviewed him. Obviously, you know, us interviewing him and him reaching out to us even helped that even more. But, yeah, definitely just going to miss everything about him. And, you know, he was really effective for the Dodgers in whatever role, starter, reliever. He was an all-star. He, you know, he never complained. And he was kind of just one of those guys that's happy to be here, that, and you really believe that he was happy to be here. You know, some other players might say that or might, you know, not try to make a big deal because the team's winning, but I think he was, you know, actually grateful to have his role with the Dodgers and be pitching for the Dodgers. So, you know, it's really going to suck to see him go, but I hope he does well with the Angels. I don't necessarily wish good luck to the Angels as a whole team.
Yeah. I'm happy for him that he can be a full-time starter. He deserves that. He's such a cool story because he wasn't a star player in high school, and then he went to Texas A&M and was good, but not a big star there. Pitched 4 years there, you know, most
walked on at A&M.
Yeah, walked on at A&M because he wasn't a big star in high school. Played through his senior year, which most guys don't do. Drafted somewhat low, and then had Tommy John surgery, and just like it seems like. For me, if I was, you know, 22 years old or whatever and had never been a big star, a low draft pick, and then had Tommy John surgery, I might be thinking, I wonder what else I can do with my life. But he just kept on going, and now he's literally an all-star in the major leagues and now gets to be a starting pitcher on a team with Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon. And, I was joking with Ross earlier when I was texting him. That's actually why I texted him, to tell him we were joking with him when he was on our podcast that he should recruit Rendon to play for the Dodgers. And turns out they're going to be teammates after all, just not in real LA, down in non-Hollywood lifestyle LA. But yeah, Ross is, you know, his major league debut, pitching the shortened no-hitter that then got ruined by Chris Hatcher. And just, like you said, just a delight. He's just one of those guys who seems happy to be there and does whatever the team asks of him. And obviously, you know, Stripling wants to be a starter, but he has done whatever was asked and with a smile on his face. So I will definitely miss Stripling, most of all on a personal level and, you know, even on the field. He was a great contributor. And, yeah, I'm bummed about that one. And so is my son.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, these guys have all been around. Well, Doogie the least, but the other three have been around for all these deep postseason runs. And, you know, they're all frustrating at times, but overall they've contributed and been big contributors to the Dodgers. So definitely going to miss them. But, you know, this is definitely what we talked about early on in the offseason, is they kind of need to shake it up. Maybe shook it up a little bit differently than we thought in terms of this Angels trade, but, you know, it's good for them. And like I said, I think
they are doing those guys a little bit of a service as well as, you know, trying to improve the team.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm not convinced the Dodgers are done. I think there might be another move or two coming. So you got any final thoughts for today, Vince?
No. Hopefully we get everything kind of settled tomorrow so we don't have to worry about it going into the weekend.
Yep. So thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow for one last show this week. Hopefully, we'll, like Vince said, we'll have the completed trades to talk about, whatever else there is going on. We'll have something here for you, Dodger-related, and it should be good. So please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there to help other people find us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want. The number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning. We hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?